New Faces of Hunger was how an English magazine in Cairo recently titled its cover story, describing how the food crisis has affected every sector of Egyptian society. With nearly 80 million people, Egypt is the most populous country in the Arab world, and around 40% of them survive on $1 a day or less. When prices of basic food started to soar earlier this year, demonstrators took to the streets. And in one industrial city not far from Cairo, at least one man was killed as police cracked down hard on tens of thousands of protesters.
Yes, it certainly was a serious crisis, I think, and you could see in the streets, you could see the people who were queuing for bread.
Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald is the nuncio to Egypt and the Cairo-based Arab League. He told me more about the government's reaction to this food crisis and the role of the tiny Christian community there.
The government took measures to try to overcome this lack of staple food, which bread is very much a staple food in the country, getting the army to open bakeries and to have places where food would be available, where bread would be available. There had been a kind of general strike that had been proposed by people more unofficially. You know, it's done through telephone messages, SMS, and through internet, and trying to get people to stop work and to put pressure on the government. The first time that didn't really succeed, I don't think, except in one place where there is a cotton factory, and in Mahalla, where people did demonstrate, and there were scuffles there. They tried it again a second time, but they didn't get any response at all, I don't think, the second time. And why? That was because the president had, on his May Day speech, announced that the salaries would be hiked up 30%. So people were very happy with that and didn't feel that they should protest against the government. This was the salaries for, you know, government employees. Of course, the salaries have been very low, and with a 30% increase, this would help. But the government has to find the money, and that is the difficulty. Where do you find the money to pay this extra salary? It's not a 5% increase, 30% is considerable. So there have been increased taxes or price increase in energy and in petrol particularly. And that will have an effect on the transport and people, you know, going by minibus to work, and that's where they will probably have to pay more, because the people who are running the businesses, they're not going to suffer, they're going to make the people pay.
Is it fair to talk about a growing economic crisis there in Egypt?
The strange thing is that the production, the growth of production rate in Egypt is, you know, is increasing all the time. I think it's something like 7%, which is, you know, very good. But that seems to be at the higher level, you know, at the level of business and with foreign investments, which are increasing. And it doesn't seem to get down to the people. So when you go into, particularly into the rural areas, you see that people are living very poorly. Fortunately for Egypt, the soil near the Nile is very fertile, and there is food, there are plenty of vegetables and fruit, which is a blessing, because otherwise the situation would really be very, very, very serious.
The other issue that constantly makes it into the news is the question of the government's crackdown. We saw this again, particularly prior to the elections in April. How much of that did you see, and what is the climate now there?
Well, I didn't see anything. I didn't see people being arrested or put in prison. But you did read this in the newspapers constantly, particularly the Muslim Brothers, who, you know, officially they're not allowed to stand, but they do as independents. Now, many of their candidates were eliminated for one reason or another, because they were engaged in religious propaganda and you're not allowed to do that, or for other reasons. So the government made sure that the ruling party, the National Democratic Party, would not have much opposition in any form at all. Half of the seats were returned unopposed, and of the other half, I think 90% went to the National Democratic Party, because the opposition was fragmented and very often the best candidates were not allowed to stand.
There's been a lot of international criticism of Mubarak and his ruling party and the lack of, or perceived lack of, democracy in Egypt. Would you agree with that?
I know that there's been criticism. The government always replies that, of course, well, you don't understand our situation. We are faced with, a threat of fundamentalist Islam, and we have to make sure that this doesn't succeed, and therefore we are using these measures, and your criticism doesn't hold at all. That is the attitude, a refusal of the criticism. And when measures have been taken to try to stop aid in one form or another because of human rights issues, the government in Egypt has said, no, we will not be dictated to, and has made sure that, in fact, the subsidies or whatever, the grants are given. I don't know what the population would think. I think in Egypt, most of the people would not be complaining too much about that.
Does the Muslim Brotherhood, though, enjoy quite a lot of popular support?
It's difficult to know exactly what support it has. The members of parliament who were elected as independents, they are a fifth of the lower chamber, are very vocal. And, of course, they are always speaking of freedom and of rights and challenging the government on various issues. And I would think they would have support there. And they would have support also for the social work that they are doing, the way that they can reach to people in need, which the government doesn't seem to be achieving.
The Christians there, of course, are a very small minority in this vast Muslim population. But what kind of relationship would you have with the Muslim leaders there, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood? Would there be any areas where you might work together on social issues, for example?
I don't think that there is any cooperation with the Muslim Brothers as such. The Catholic Church has a very strong Caritas Egypt, which has many different projects in the country. And the Caritas does work with Muslims, but they're not necessarily, marked by the Muslim Brothers. I think these are, let's say, socially minded Muslims, independent and who are ready to work with the church. You do see that the Egyptian society is becoming more Islamized, let us say. Well, you see that in the dress of the women. This is a phenomenon that is, developing even more. The full veil seems to be much more common now than it was before. And not only, these are younger women who are wearing the full veil.
So there would be growing support then, you think, for some form of Islamic State there in Egypt?
There might be support from the people. I don't think that the middle classes would be in support at all. I don't think that the business classes would really be in support. It is true that the Muslim Brothers have made their way into the universities, made their way into the trades unions, so that they are present in society. Because of that presence, then they do cause some sort of apprehension on the part of the government, and, well, one can understand that.
What do you see, really, is the role of the churches? I mean, Christians are leaving Egypt the same as they're leaving other countries in the Middle East, North Africa, aren't they? Increasingly, these churches are diminishing. What do you see as the real role of the church there today?
The church is concerned with this, of course, and the Catholic bishops have discussed this at their last assembly in December. They discussed this theme, and more recently in April they were looking at actually examining the Holy Father's encyclical Spe Salvi, but in the light of the reality of, you know, Egyptian reality, and how do you encourage hope in society at the moment? There needs to be really job creation and a certain imagination to find fields where Christians could make a contribution to society and where they would be open so that people would not need to emigrate. I mean, it's the lack of possibilities that make parents say, well, we're going to send our children abroad to study because there's no future for them here. So it's that. And interestingly enough, the Hope University of Liverpool were out in Egypt recently and are preparing to help to set up some sort of perhaps a business management school, specifically with this idea of giving hope, you know, to the Christian population.
My thanks there to Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald, Apostolic Nuncio to Egypt and the Cairo-based Arab League.